Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. Touringplans.com is the website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World, and it's your one-stop shop for information when it comes to planning that next Walt Disney World vacation. You're going to get the 365-day crowd calendar, over 140 premium touring plans, as well as access to Lines, which is the mobile application, which will give you all the information you need on the fly while you're in the Walt Disney World theme parks. Check them out over at www.touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 284 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. And happy Thanksgiving one more time. We hope you had a great day yesterday and had your fill of turkey, friends, and football. And we're glad to get back together here on a Friday, a lazy Friday, to talk about some Disney. Joining me today from a Disney World After All.com, we have Ricky. Happy Black Friday, Ricky. What's going on?
You know what? I'm actually honestly thinking about braving the crowds. I'm kind of scared. I've never done it before. But I need a new TV because I'm pretty sure that, you know, when I'm watching television and things are black, it's not really supposed to be black. You're supposed to be able to see the things that are behind the people.
Oh, no. So
I think a new TV is in my future, and I'm thinking Black Friday is the day I'm going to have to go find one.
Well, that's today, so you better get yourself moving. You know, that's today. The crowds are out there. You got to get going. Let's go.
I know. I've been up apparently for, you know, 5 or 6 hours. I don't know.
So you've already bought a TV.
I've already bought my TV. Yeah, exactly.
So do you still have one of the like old school square TVs that's as deep as it is wide?
I do have an old school square TV. This thing is a mammoth box. I mean, seriously, it's a 50-inch TV, and the bottom half is almost as big as the top as the actual screen. It was my grandma's, and she gave it to me, so I couldn't complain. It was free, so.
You know, though, I was one of those people that said, I don't need one of those big flat-screen HD TVs, and we did last year, Pam and I, instead of getting each other Christmas gifts, we decided to go in together and buy one big gift, and we decided it was going to be a big flat TV, you know, HD TV. And I'll tell you what, that's the best thing we ever did. The other night I was watching the Mizzou game, and it was not in HD, and I'm thinking, I can't tell which team's which in here. You know, my dad doesn't have an HD TV, and he's like, you are such a whiner. But seriously, it's the truth.
I know. I'm looking at HD. I'm looking at everything. So we'll see what I end up with. But I'm thinking Friday is probably going to, well, today will probably be the day.
All right. Well, good luck with that because, you know, you always get to see the fun YouTube videos on a Black Friday night.
If anybody gets trampled, I'm sure I will take video of it and post it.
Yeah, post it live so we can keep up with everything.
Exactly.
All right. And Debbie's not joining us today. She is taking care of some commitments that she has to take care of, but she wishes everybody, again, a happy Thanksgiving, and she'll be back with us again next Friday. That's right. That's exactly right. So there's your Debbieism for the day. But also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Happy Black Friday, Pam.
I am excited. I'm out there, you know, kind of, what am I trying to say? I'm out there in the thick of it with Ricky, apparently.
That's right. I missed
her somehow. I don't know how that happened, but anyways.
I don't know.
We do this every few years. I don't know why. Because we're not, you know, I'm not really that patient when I'm paying for something. Like, I want to be able to pay for it immediately.
Oh my gosh, that's me too.
I do not want to have to stand in line to pay for something. I'm not even looking for anything that specific this year, but I think I'm just going to go and do it anyways. I mean, I don't know. What else are you going to do? So,
you know, I seriously think that Black Friday's kind of like a sporting event. You know, you get that high from scoring a touchdown, and
no,
you know, I swear it's people, yes, that they don't need that thing, but it's like there's only five of them in this gigantic mega store, and I'm getting
46-inch TV exactly. For $2. Woohoo!
So who knows? Yeah, I definitely sleep in on Black Friday, but you know, hopefully we're providing a soundtrack for somebody that may be waiting out in the cold, waiting for Walmart or Kohl's to open today. So, that's, you know, great. We'll be yeah. your friend, and let's talk some Disney to kind of help you get through this this big day. So today we have a suggestion from Twitter from Mark Johns One, one of our friends on Twitter, Mark, and he suggested that we do a show about Disney changes that we're thankful for over the last couple of years. And I think this is a great idea. I mean, Ricky, can you think of any changes that you're really thankful for over the last couple of years?
Yeah, sure. Of course. There's always something to be thankful for that Disney does. That's right, for sure. Yeah.
We're like the Thanksgiving leftovers today. So we're still thankful, and we're stretching out the Thanksgiving holiday a little bit longer. So, you know, that's us. So that's what we're going with today.
Leftovers.
that's way better than Black Friday.
That's right.
So go ahead. What are you thankful for that, you know, a change that Disney's made that's turned out to be a good thing?
All right. So I'm really enjoying, and I think I know we're going to see more of this because things keep popping up. I am really enjoying what they're doing with the interactive queues. I really think that's a great idea and, you know, something that you're like, why didn't they think of this years ago? You know, why did it take this many years to think of, hey, let's put something in line to keep people busy, you know? But I think they're doing an amazing job with them. They just opened the Winnie the Pooh one, this week. And of course, you know, they have the Haunted Mansion one that's coming. The Space Mountain one is actually... Now, the Space Mountain one is one that I'm kind of torn on. Because with the Space Mountain one, it's like this game. And the line, it kind of holds the line up because the game lasts for a certain amount of time. So, like, the people in the end of the line are waiting forever because they don't know that this game is playing. And then once the game is done and they've passed it, then the line moves a lot faster. But I really, really am enjoying the interactive queues. And as Jay can attest to... He really enjoyed watching me do the Soarin' one where I was trying to be a bird. So nothing is better than me trying to flap my wings and look like an actual absolute idiot. So,
you know, Ricky, that really isn't a game in Soarin'. He was just telling you that.
I know. He was just telling me it was. Yeah, you're supposed to flap your arms and wave your legs all around. Yeah.
You were entertaining the 15,000 people behind you in the standby line that day. So, yeah, that was fun for them. But, you know, I think that's a good point. That I think that times are kind of demanding that Disney installs these interactive queues because, and I hate to sound like some old man because I'm really not, but, you know, think about 20 years ago, I think Americans and people in general had a longer attention span than we do nowadays. You know, everything now is instant gratification, instant feedback, and, you know, I mean, those rails in Peter Pan's flight queue, you know, don't give you much feedback. You know, you sit on them and you rail on them and then somebody tips over and falls and they get yelled at. I mean, that's the excitement of Peter Pan.
That's themselves unconscious. Exactly. You know, whatever.
That's about as interactive as that queue gets. But you're right. I mean, they're adding these things to help pass the time. And I think it's a great win for Disney because guest satisfaction is going to go up because one of the biggest things people complain about when they go to any kind of a theme park or amusement park, it's, oh, I had to spend so much time in line. But if, you know, if you have to be in that line because of capacity issues with the attraction, at least you can possibly make standing in line less painful and more enjoyable. So, you know, what are your thoughts on this, Pam?
I love the idea. I mean, I know, you know, those of us who have kids know that the kids drag their electronic accessories with them. And actually, when we're on vacation, I don't let Hannah use stuff like that unless we are in line and it's a long line. And then I'll let her, you know, pull out the iPod or whatever, you know, whatever, her phone or whatever she happens to be doing. And I think that's only fair because I usually have my phone out too. But I mean, we like to be entertained. I mean, let's face it. We, even when we're going to be entertained on an attraction, we want to be entertained on the way to the attraction. And I think that that's just, you know, it's just what is going on right now in society. And I don't think it's necessarily a good or a bad thing. I mean, you know, what's the lesson to be learned to, you know, stand there in line and like be bored? There really isn't one, you know, so why not? You have
that
space. Lessons
in patience. That's what
oh,
you're
yeah,
learning.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, I don't know about that lesson.
But I mean, you have to think about it. I think that they're really just adjusting with the times, because think about when Pirates of the Caribbean opened up. It's not like that queue was without entertainment. And it was really, and it still is, but it, much more so, I'm sure, when it opened, really entertaining at that time, because there was nothing else like it. Before, you know, up until Disney, other parks didn't do things like this. And Disney was really innovative in this area. So think of Pirates of the Caribbean. You have, you know, the skeletons playing chess, or the sounds of someone digging, you know, kind of around the corner, or cute and interesting and stimulating things to look at through the queue has always been kind of the direction that Disney is going. And I think this, they're just taking it one step further.
You know, that's a great thought with Pirates, because again, it's not interactive in the sense of what we're thinking of today with like Soarin' and the new Pooh queue, but it is. I mean, it's a step up from Peter Pan. It really is. It's a step up from Peter Pan and all the kind of Fantasyland switchbacks. But I even heard, I think I read somewhere, that Disney kind of pioneered the idea of switchback queues. Because before that, it was like just a long, you know, straight line back, and it would go forever back. But they made the switchbacks kind of to, I guess, to make it appear that the queue, you know, the line shorter than it is, maybe. I thought I read that somewhere, but that's interesting that we're kind of getting back to this. But this is kind of cool. I mean, I wouldn't have even thought of this, but it is kind of the evolution of the waiting process. And now, you know, Disney's working on the queueless queues, which is, you know, again, I see that and I say, oh, that'll never work. You know, where you get a basically, you're kind of like, it's kind of like, I think, akin to like loading an airplane, where you get a group, you know, number or letter. And then when your group comes up, boom, you're a part of the attraction and you don't necessarily have to wait. And again, I think this is smart, because for one thing, it does help. It helps the guest satisfaction, because you don't want to just stand there and look at the person in front of you, you know, for 45 minutes. But also, in, you know, for Disney, it's kind of like what they did with FastPass. When you're standing in line, you're not purchasing anything. You know, you're not doing anything for the park. Right. But if you're, you know, if you have a time, come back in 30 minutes, you can go check out the souvenir stand, grab a Coke, grab a snack. So I think it does work out well for everybody. So, you know, that's a good point. And you also mentioned real quick, Ricky, the Space Mountain queue. And I wonder, you know, as you said that, if Disney kind of heard the buzz in the Disney community that, you know, Space Mountain queue is as basic as it is in a way, because really it's just kind of a silver tunnel type thing. But
with holographicness.
But a lot of people like that queue. You know what I'm saying? Like, is non-interactive as it is. I mean, I love that queue. That queue is as much about Space Mountain as the ride itself to me, with the music and the feeling you get when you're going through the tunnel. So, you know, do you think that had anything to do with them just plugging in a couple games?
I don't know. I think that they were worried more about people waiting in line, but the line can get long for this attraction, so I can see kind of adding an interactive element to it. I just don't know how well, I don't know if adding in like a game was as good of an idea as like maybe doing something like what they're doing with Pooh, you know, which is more interactive and not as time intensive. Because like, you know, with the game, you're playing the game until it's over. I mean, you're not going to be moving on until your game is finished. It works really well with Soarin', because Soarin' kind of does it in groups, but with you know, Space, it's kind of a continuous moving line, you know, and until you get to the point of you're playing the video games. So I love the original portion of Space Mountain, though. Like, I love getting to walk through the Fast Pass line and seeing all the holographic things. I mean, because that, you're right, that to me is Space Mountain. You know, as kitschy as it is, that's Space Mountain. All the holographic and the music and everything, that's it to me. So I don't know how, like I said, I don't know how good it was to add it to Space, but I really am enjoying it in the other attractions that they're doing it in so far, and I'm excited to see where they go in the future with it, too.
Yeah, with Space, you know, I enjoy that it's a retro look at Space. You know, I know that it's not exactly what space travel is or will be 10 years from now, but it just, it's almost, you know, and a lot of Disney's like this, it's like a time machine. You know, it's like going back to the early 80s, the late 70s, even some of the music reminds me of that. Like, there's a kind of part of the Space Mountain queue music where it plays kind of some like slow trumpets. Mm-hmm. And that sounds very kind of late 70s, early 80s-ish, but in a way it's still spacey. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I associate that with Space Mountain, but I'm glad they didn't do dramatic things there. But I'm excited that they're taking some of these really boring cues and spicing them up. So now, if folks didn't catch what happened at you know, with the new interactive queue over at Winnie the Pooh. Just fill us in real quick, Ricky, so folks know.
Well, they're adding things. They're still adding things as far as I know this week. But there's like a door that like is Piglet's door. And if you knock on it, you can hear Piglet. I know that there's this honey wall that if you like clear the honey, you can see Pooh in there. You know, and things like that. And they're adding just more and more. There's something that they're going to do with Tigger and bouncing, I think. And it's just, it's like I said, they're still going with it. They haven't finished completely yet. But it looks like it's going to be phenomenal. And I want to play in it just as much as I think the kids do. So,
you know, the thing with that, though, too, and we'll move on to the next one here in just a second. But you have really new attractions like Toy Story. Okay, take Toy Story for an example. That's a killer line. I mean, you have Potato Head. But, oh, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of his. It's repetitious. I mean, yeah, he's a really cool animatronic. But, you know, once you've seen his act for about 15 minutes, you're about done with him.
Right, and now you're waiting 45 minutes to an hour in line, and you still have to hear Potato Head.
And that's the thing, is like it's a very, very new attraction relative to all the other attractions at Walt Disney World, yet think of the queue in there. I mean, it's very colorful and bright, and there's lots to see, but there is like zero interactivity in that queue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I think Mr. Potato Head was supposed to be interactive, but he's not so much.
He just tries your patience there while you're waiting for, you know, 2 hours to ride this ride. Yeah.
If I have to hear that one potato, two potato song again, right. I'm going to shoot my brains out.
Hey, is this thing broken?
Right. Yes, it is. It's very broken. It's about Stop singing it.
Yes, it's about to be. That's a good point there, Ricky. So let's go on to Pam's. What are you thankful for that Disney's changed lately?
One of the things I'm really grateful for is that they're adding some new restaurants to Epcot, specifically Yay! World Showcase. And I'm so happy with both of the new ones that have come that, you know, I'm kind of like, I wonder if they'll do some more. Just because I do like so many of the restaurants in World Showcase, but I think that they kind of need freshened up. That so many of them have been there for a long time, and not that they may not still serve great food, but I think that there's always room for improvement, especially for those who go back again and again. We want to have something new, something different. And I think they've really done a great job with both of these in keeping with the theme of the country. I think Via Napoli did a good job with that. And I think that La Hacienda does as well. And it's just something new and interesting to see, and I'm always a fan of that.
You know, as Disney fans, we always need another experience, another reason to visit, another new thing to try. And you're right. I mean, World Showcase is known. I mean, it's been known for the last, well, probably since World Showcase has been opened at Epcot, it's a great place to dine. But, you know, I'll say firsthand for Hacienda that was a, you know, that was a no-brainer. I look at that and I say, why wasn't this here 10 years ago? Because it's a great location. I think that Mexican-type food appeals to a large audience. I think that, you know, there's a lot of places in World Showcase like, you know, maybe Marrakesh you might be scared of. Maybe some people don't like, you know, maybe Japanese food or sushi. You know, that stuff can be scary to a lot of people. But I think that, at least in the United States, most people are comfortable with, you know, Mexican. And I know that, you know, you did a great review on the Mouse for Less of La Hacienda because it's not... I don't think you said it wasn't like Tex-Mex. It's more authentic Mex.
That's how. I felt like I said it wasn't your over cheesed, over sour creamed kind of entree. And I wanted to point out that I didn't think those were bad things because I really don't love cheese and sour cream.
Those are yummy.
Right. But if that's what you're thinking when you go there, that won't be what you get. You will get more of like the meats that have the Mexican inspired flavorings. And, you know, for instance, I had the pork, which had a mole sauce, which is the sauce that has a little bit of cocoa in it. Not the sweetened cocoa, but a cocoa flavoring as well as so many other different spices. And it was fantastic. Really, really, a really complex sauce. And it had so many different flavorings and just was really good. And I really, really enjoyed it. How many times can I say really? Should I add a few more
really's in? Really, 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 really,
really. But anyway, so yeah, that's not, I mean, if you go to Taco Bell, you're not going to be able to find a mole sauce.
It's not a 99-cent chalupa that you can get at 3 in the morning.
Right.
Very nice. You needed to say moi, 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 moi. No, that's great. But, you know, like I was saying, though, I think that it was, I mean, it's got a great location. I just can't believe, you know, it looks like it should have been there since day one. When I look at it now, but I've visited many times where it wasn't there. But I think that's going to be something that's popular from now well into the future. And, you know, I just think that, again, another reason to try something new, you know, because I think that there's a certain level of Disney fan that's done almost every World Showcase restaurant, you know, maybe more than once even. And so now you get a chance to go to Via Napoli or to La Hacienda and, you know, get to have a new favorite because there's something to be said for something new. So, you know, Ricky, what are your thoughts on World Showcase getting more dining? Is that always a good thing?
Drool. Yes, it's a good thing. I was thinking about this one too. I love that they're adding so many new things to World Showcase, and it's making World Showcase become something that I'm falling in love with more and more, which is not something that I could have said 5 years ago. You know, I'm really loving the new additions in the restaurants. I mean, I think everybody knows about my feelings about Via Napoli and their quattro formaggi pizza. I mean, hello. But I'm also really impressed with the new shops and things like that they're adding to World Showcase as well. There's a new Givenchy shop. I probably totally butchered that. I'm not French. And then there's also, of course, Carmel. I can't say
Couché.
That one. Yeah, exactly. The new Carmel shop in Germany, which is absolutely amazing. I mean, I love caramel corn, and this stuff was to die for. So I definitely am going back there and getting some more caramel corn the next chance I get. But yeah, I love all the new additions that they're making. It's making Epcot a lot more diverse and a lot more current. And I really think that they're doing a good job, and I hope that they'll continue in the right direction towards that.
You know, and I think it's a win-win, because when you put in a restaurant or a place like Carmel Couch or Couché or however you say it, I definitely can't say it either. I'm from St. Louis, people.
I'm glad that you tried to pronounce it and not me.
But, you know, I mean, it's a win for everybody. Like, we get a new experience as a Disney fan, and it's a place that Disney can turn a profit. I mean, think about it. I mean, they can make money at new restaurants and new souvenir stands and new snack shops. I mean, that's a good thing for them. But again, we're happy about it because it gives us a reason to go back into the pavilion, explore exactly. A little more, which is, so that's a good thing. Now, we have a little extra time today because this topic, we don't have a ton of like options to go with. But let me ask you this while we're in World Showcase. Pam, if you had to put odds on it, in the next 5 years, what do you think the chances are we'll get another country back in World Showcase? What do you think? I don't know. I mean, I'm torn on this one.
I am too, because the Fantasyland expansion is happening, but that rumor has been so prevalent for so long and it hasn't happened. And I keep thinking it has to happen. You know what I mean? It has to happen. It has to happen. It has to happen one of these times, mm-hmm. But I don't know. It hasn't up until this point. So what makes us think that it's going to happen? I mean, you know, this is so funny that you brought this up because, I had been watching old vacation planning VHS tapes. I found a box of them, and the one television that we have that still has a VHS player is hooked up near the treadmill. So I've been like, ooh. Okay, I'm putting these in and watching them. So I've been watching them lately, and one of the Epcot ones that I watched, and I wish I knew what year this was from, but I don't. It was talked about the new African pavilion that was opening up, and it was just like, huh, very, very interesting, because of course we know it never did. So, I mean, you know, I would love to see it, but I will say that I do not think the odds are that great that we will.
That's fair, because you're right. I mean, the rumor has been out there forever that it was coming. And I mean, a lot of people thought it was coming this last big announcement with the Let the Memories Begin campaign. Yeah. A lot of people were, you know, swearing that's what it was going to be. And they were ready, you know. So good point. You know, that's a good thing, too. I know we have a lot of listeners that know the history of the company so much better than we do. But it would be interesting to know how many things like that got out to marketing that never happened. You know, like if they're saying coming soon, the African Pavilion, and it never did. I bet you there are a few other things that, you know, got to that point where it got in the marketing materials but never came to fruition. That'd be cool. So if folks know that, let us know over on the forums at brguestpodcast.com. I'd really appreciate that, because I find that stuff super interesting, because you know that, I mean, they had to invest a lot of time to get it to that point. So, Ricky, what do you think? I mean, next 5 years, do we get a new country in World Showcase?
I think as much as I would love to see a new country, I don't think that we're going to see a new one in 5 years. I think that maybe possibly 10 years, and that's a small possibility. I mean, I really would like to see something, but I really don't see them getting any kind of new country in unless they get the financial backing for it. And with the economy the way it is right now, I just don't see any country wanting to back anything, or any particular facet of a country wanting to back it. So I really, I mean, as like I said, as much as I would love to see something new come in, and I would definitely be thrilled if something new came in, I just don't see it, with at least within the next 5 years. I mean, like I said, maybe 10. I mean, you know, and that's pushing it. But I think in the 5 years now, I don't think we're going to see anything.
You know, though, thinking back, though, it's been quite a while since we've gotten a major thing at Epcot.
It's been forever since we've had a new country.
Well, not even a new country, but I'm thinking Epcot as a whole. I would say the newest, like, major attraction is Mission Space, and that was 2002.
Soarin'.
Soarin's 2005. After that. Yeah, five. Yeah.
And then, I mean, you've got Nemo, too, so.
Yeah, that's
there's
true.
There's been a few newer attractions. Just not new pavilions, but new attractions.
So, real quick, if you had your pick of a country, Ricky, what would it be?
I hate this question. I'm not, like, really well-versed, and I think that any country would be amazing to learn about. I'm kind of partial to Brazil because I had a foreign exchange student from Brazil. So I think that would be really cool. And that would be a really, it's the fifth largest country in the world. So that they would have a lot to, work with. I really like Brazil.
What do you do? Brazil's there every time that I'm down there in the summer. Are you kidding me?
Well, that's true.
Brazil, right before Fantasmic.
Whatever.
No, I love them. I'm just kidding. But it seems like, you know, the country's empty when I'm at Disney World.
That's
because
true,
they're
that's
all
true.
With me.
Hey, but you know what? Maybe, like, no Brazilians would go to visit that country because they already know what Brazil's all
like. It's like going to your house. I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah, whatever. You know, I feel like some days they need to give me, like, a green and yellow, like, spandex shirt, and I could just, like, blend right in. Right there.
There you go.
Anyway. Oh, this is getting ugly. So, Pam, what country would you pick?
I would love to see, and I realize that this is a continent as well, but Australia. I think that would be, there's such diverse, geography there, and so many, you know, you have the fishing and ocean, but then you have so many other great things to highlight there with that country. I think that would be really, really interesting. Something like that, but I'm sure that someone has something a little more creative than I'm thinking. But I think a lot of people could identify with that country too, because it's probably not, you know, it's a place that we all know about, but probably not that many of us will get there. So I think that would be interesting.
That's a good point. It could bring it to the, you know, the folks that are never going to get there because it's so remote and hard to get to. And that, yeah, I agree. I think Australia would be a lot of fun to go down to. And I got a great idea for their souvenir shop. Like, okay, so in their souvenir shop, they have all kinds of, like, alligators and all their, you know, kangaroos and stuff. But okay,
there's a shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah, shrimp on the Barbie. And then, but here's the thing. You go and they have, like, these little knives, okay? So you go get a little knife.
Yeah, that's it.
No, listen. And then you take it up to the cast member at the, at the checkout at the cash register. And when you hand it to them, they say, "That's not a knife. This is a knife." And they pull out, like, this big old machete and sell it to you, you know, so... Right there. That's story. That's backstory right there. So
the Crocodile Dundee's running 24/7, you know.
Apparently,
always exactly. Watch it. Yes.
Oh, so what were we talking about? Oh yeah, we're talking about things we're thankful for, changes in the last couple of years. Mine is so simple after this. Actually, mine comes from this past week, and I guess I'm really becoming a trip planner and looking at things a lot more carefully than I used to, but I'm excited that this past week Disney announced park hours for June 2011, you know, and it's not even December yet. So they're kind of outside of that 180-day window, which, you know, that's a small thing compared to, like, the things you guys brought up. They're major. But I think that for the person who wants to plan that perfect Disney vacation, it can, in a way, give them peace of mind knowing at least I have a framework to work from. Because I know that a lot of people, in myself included, we go back historically and look at, okay, last June, what did they do? And what did they do the June before that? Which a lot of times those are pretty close. But I will say the one thing about this is that, as we always know with Disney, hours are scheduled to change. You know, they can expand the hours if the crowds are big, and they can, you know, shorten them if the crowds aren't so big. So in a way, I'm excited that they're doing this, but I hope that they kind of stick to their guns, because I know a lot of people really get their heart set on, okay, I'm going to be in this park and I need an ADR at this place in this park at this time. And, you know, I think that it's going to help people and give them some peace of mind. Because I know people do really stress out about not knowing park hours. I mean, I'm the same way sometimes. So, Ricky, do you think that's a good thing or is it bad? Because, you know, it could be a false sense of security if they pull the, you know, the park hours and change them up on you later.
I think that Disney is very conservative with their park hours. I think that they, especially that far out in advance, I think that they release the least amount of park hours that they possibly can. And then if they notice that things are going better than they thought they would, they'd up them a little bit. I do like that they're releasing them far in advance. Although I'm kind of at the point where I'm not the Uber planner that I used to be. I mean, I never really was an Uber planner, but I was more into the planning process than I am now. And, you know, back then I would have been all over getting, you know, my park hours 180 days plus in advance. But now, you know, like I said, I know I'm going in June, like I'm not itching to see what the park hours are right now. So, you know, I think it depends. The one thing I don't like is I know why they're releasing the park hours that far in advance. And it's because they have ADRs and 180 days in advance. And I still think that's way too long to have ADRs. I mean, seriously, that's just ridiculous to me to have to make an ADR 180 days in advance. But, you know, I know I'm a lot in the minority a lot of times with that. So, but I know that's why they're doing it a lot of the time. It's just so people can kind of get a general idea of what the park hours are going to be.
So what do you think, Pam? Because, I mean, you deal with all these travel agents, you know, and they're definitely, you know, travel agents look at things because they want to give the best possible experience and make it as easy as possible on their guests. And so, you know, even a travel agent, if Disney doesn't give you information, your hands can be tied in a way. So what are you hearing and what are your feelings on this?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I hate to see someone's expectations not be met because of a change that Disney makes later. And I will say, like Ricky mentioned, that they are conservative. They start out maybe, you know, with park hours that are shorter than they may actually be. So maybe the things that can happen are that, you know, their day will be extended and hopefully not shortened. And that's not a bad thing. But I guess as an agent, I feel like one of our jobs is to try to help our guests' expectation, to help give our guests the information to let them know that their expectations can't always be met with, you know, planning this far in advance. Is that to make their expectations a bit more realistic. And that's not to, you know, in a negative way, but just say, well, you know what, this is all subject to change and Disney frequently does this. So let's come up with a ballpark plan and kind of think about what we want to do here, what you're going to want to do this day, and we'll work with that information. And it, you know, if we have to change it later, then it will, but we'll be able to come up with a plan that works no matter what. I mean, even if you absolutely put no planning into it at all, you could still go to Disney World and have a great time. And I think that people need to remember that. And I'm guilty of this too. I mean, if I have, you know, what I consider to be my perfect day planned out, you know, I don't want to have to change my plans any more than the next one does. I mean, I just really don't. I like the process. I like the planning process. I like to come up with what I feel is an ideal schedule for that day. And if I have to change it, I'm not that happy. But you know, you have to keep it all in perspective. At the end of the day, you're going to be on vacation and you're going to be in Disney World. So it'll all work out.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, like we always say, and you hear it on Twitter all the time, you know, a bad day at Disney beats a great day at the office anytime.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, you know, we're very positive. We love Disney. That's why we do this podcast. We don't ever want to get negative. But, you know, just for fun, Ricky, if there's one thing in the past couple of years, you know, that you would like to see changed, you know, something you're not so thankful for, mm-hmm. What would that be?
I have a couple, but I'm going to go with the one that I think is the most prevalent, and I can kind of tie a couple of my other ones in with this. So I think one of the biggest downfalls that Disney is doing right now is with their souvenirs. Everything is so homogenized now, and I can kind of understand, like, you know, the fact that people want to, you know, don't want to search forever to find the souvenir, and that's fine. You know, maybe have one big store where they have that kind of stuff in every single park or something like that. But then I really miss the idea of having different unique things in the other areas of the park. It's one of those things that I think that the U word, Universal and Islands of Adventure, is doing right now with Harry Potter. I mean, they have the most amazing things that you can get that are related to Harry Potter, and they're only, for the most part, most of them are only found in that section of the park. So you can, if you want a specific thing, like a pygmy puff or something like that, you have to go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter to get it. And I really think that Disney is missing out on things like this because they're focused so much on putting so much merchandise everywhere that so that people can get it, so that people can buy it. And I really think that they're saturating the market way too much. I mean, look at this was my other kind of problem is Duffy. You know, look at Duffy right now. I mean, he is freaking everywhere. I mean, you can't go into a shop and not find something Duffy, basically. You know, it's too much. You know, if they'd had him just at Epcot, you know, just in World Showcase, just in that area, that would be fine. But they have him everywhere. And I just think that by putting things in too many different places, it causes people to not want to buy things. Like, I'm not buying things as much anymore because I don't feel the need to buy things anymore. You know, I go, oh, okay, well, either I can get that the next time or I can get that in a different shop and I forget to buy it. So that I think that the souvenirs really need to take a step up in the process there, because it's just getting sad.
I have a few thoughts on that. Now, real quick, what was the example you gave for Harry Potter? A pygmy puffle?
Pygmy puff.
I don't even want to know what that is.
You know, you
I
can't have... get butterbeer anywhere else. You can't get, you know.
Just for the heck of it, what's a pygmy puff?
I'm picturing
a little short person with like spiky hair.
I don't exactly know what it looks like in the stores, but I do know they're selling them. And a pygmy puff in Harry Potter world is it's basically this little pet. And it's the small little puff. It's this little puff thing. It's like circular or something like that. And it's this little pet that you have in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and in Harry Potter's world.
Is it one of those horn cruckers things?
No, it's
I don't know what those are, but anyway.
It's not a horcrux. A horcrux is bad. Don't want a horcrux.
I'm serious. We're going to have to delete this whole section of the podcast because we're a Disney podcast, man. I don't like talking Harry Potter. No, but, you know, I think you make great points, though, because
the best example.
Yeah, and you actually did. I mean, that's a great point because, you know, I get back even to the resort mugs. I loved collecting those mugs. From whatever, I got one at the Polynesian one time and I didn't even stay there because, you know, I love the Polynesian and they got me for $15 for like three sodas. But I mean, the thing of it was I was willing to buy a mug. It probably, you know, back in that day, it's probably $10 back then, but still,
right.
You know, it was unique. And I think you make a great point where if you can buy something everywhere, it's not going to encourage you to make the purchase. But if you see, man, I can't get this anywhere else, it's exclusive. I mean, that makes me buy something, you know, like I might not be back in this part of the park, you know, this trip, and I might not be back to Walt Disney World for a year. If I'm going to get it, it's got to be now. But like you say with Duffy, I mean, you could buy them anywhere or you could buy them online. And I mean, just I think that it's great to make it very easy to get to the consumer. But I think that they've gone overboard where it's so prevalent, like you said, that there's no urgency to buy the thing.
Exactly. And if there's no urgency, then there's less chance that people are going to buy it. That means that profits go down with things like that. And it's just lose, lose, lose all the way down. So.
Yeah. I mean, Duffy is cute, though. I mean, I'll give you know, I've seen him and I mean, he's a cute little teddy bear. So, I mean, we're not, you know, totally downing him, but I just think that, you know, and Disney's good at this. You know, they want everybody to see him and they get on something and they go with it. But I think I'm the same way. Maybe I'm seeing things in the minority, but I like the very unique items that I can only get here. I bet if I'm going to buy it, you know, if I'm going to buy this thing, I got to buy it now because I'm not going to find it, you know, 17 other places during my trip. So good points there. All right, Pam, what do you think for something, you know, that may be a change that you're not so grateful for?
I am actually not grateful that with the Disney dining system in some ways, the changes that they made where you could go back to making your ADRs 180 days in advance, and the online dining system, and the fact that I feel like the online dining system maybe not encourages people to make multiple reservations, but makes it easier for people to make multiple reservations that they may or may not be using. And I feel like Disney should either go with a policy that, you know, all of them need like a $5 deposit or none of them do. And they have a different system and allow more people to make reservations. Because I will tell you that there have been times when supposedly, you know, all the restaurants are full or a restaurant has no availability. Actually, there are many, many times that this happens, that I wasn't able to get availability for a restaurant online, and we end up being there at the park anyways, and we go up and just ask if we can go and, you know, sit down, and they seat us within, you know, 2-3 minutes. They have the availability there. It just happens to be that so many people made online reservations or over the phone reservations and didn't keep those reservations. And I'm not scolding people who do. I mean, I completely understand why people do this. It's just that I feel like Disney's just not dealing with it very well. And I, you know, there have been, and I know last year, I think maybe the year before, we were there on New Year's Day, and we heard the server saying that like a huge percentage of their reservations were no shows. And I think that's the case a lot of times. And I just don't, I want them to be able to react better to that. And I think their system needs a little revamping. And I also feel like 180 days is so far in advance, and I know that there are the planners out there who are screaming at me, no, it's not, but it's just, it's a whole half of a year.
I don't know
what I'm doing, you know, next week. I don't know what I'm doing a half a year from now.
I didn't, you know, up until the beginning of this week, I didn't even know what I was doing for Thanksgiving, so, you know.
In fact, right before we started the podcast, we hardly knew what we were going to talk about. So exactly. Anyway.
that's normal for us.
Right.
Yeah, but that is normal. But I mean, it just is so far in advance. And I don't know, it may be too far in advance. I think that people who obsess about it are going to change their minds 100 times between now and then anyway. So let them change it on paper before calling it in. And people who are just fly by the seat of the pants aren't going to make, you know, it isn't going to help them either. So I don't know. That's just my thoughts though.
You know, this is one of those things. It's kind of it's a fine line to walk because, you know, I've tried to think of how can you solve this solution of, you know, there are times where I can see that it may be justified where you make two ADRs for the same time because you don't know what park you're going to be in or, you know, circumstances warrant, but you know, I've tried to come up with the best solution. And for me, it seems like, kind of like you said, maybe a credit card guarantee on all ADRs of like possibly maybe $5 for the entire family if you don't show. Because, you know, that's not going to make or break anybody. But I think it's a deterrent enough that people aren't going to schedule maybe 10 duplicate ADRs in a week. You know, because that's $50 then. You know, which $50, I mean, and if you look at what you're spending for a Disney vacation, $50 is a drop in the bucket. I mean, some people could see that as, you know, that's the price to pay and I'm going to have two sets of ADRs every day. And that's, you know what, Disney's making $50 on you then. But I, you know, I really hate to see it when, like you said, somebody's going down there, especially folks going for like a first time trip or a special anniversary trip or a honeymoon, you know, just any kind of celebration where, you know, it would be really special if we could get into Le Cellier or to Teppanito. And then they hear that, you know, sorry, we don't have any ADRs for this day. And then come to find out, maybe they don't have the experience. They don't go to the restaurant as a walk up and they just assume that's the case, you know, and that really bothers me because I want everybody to experience the Disney that I know. And I love Disney because I've had access to so many things just because of the information I've learned over the years from so many great people. But, you know, I just think that some people are playing the system sometimes. I mean, when you'd use that, when you go the, you know, to the 10th degree with that, making 2 or 3 ADRs for the same time. So yeah, I wish there was a good solution to that, but I think it all just kind of boils down to common sense and courtesy a lot of times.
Definitely. Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't know what that says though about people because they're still hard to get. So I don't know.
You know, and our listeners are so kind. I mean, they will, that's the thing about like, we're not talking about our listeners, because I know that so many times I've seen on the boards, I'm getting ready to cancel the sell yay for three people at, right. you know, on this date. Does anybody want it? I mean, that's like going the opposite direction, you know, like I'm not just going to cancel it. I'm going to try to make somebody's day. So, you know, my biggest thing is, I mean, I don't judge anybody. I'm not perfect, but I just want, you know, I just want everybody to have a chance to eat at Le Cellier, or everybody to have a chance to eat at Coral Reef, or, you know, wherever it is they like. I just don't think that anybody should be shut out, because that's one thing that I love about Disney. It's not about your social status. It's not about necessarily how much money you have. I mean, I really can't comfortably stay at the Polynesian every time with my family, but I still have access to eat at the Polynesian and to go to the Polynesian beach and watch the fireworks. So I still get a taste of it. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. I don't want to say that, oh, just the real savvy can get in this restaurant because they know how to work the ADR system. I think it's great to have knowledge and to be able to get done what you need to, but I love to hear, you know, somebody that's, you know, and I use the word clueless when it comes to Disney planning, that just kind of goes down there, but they get to happen upon a great experience. You know, that makes me happy. Like, hey, we got to eat at this really cool restaurant in Canada. I'm thinking, what? You got to eat there? You know how many people try to get that ADR? But I mean, that's a cool thing. You know, it's funny to me, but I want everybody to love Disney like I do. And I love Disney. So very good point on the ADRs. And I'll wrap mine up real quick because we are running a little long. My thing that I wish Disney would change, and I know this isn't something they have changed, but to me, this is one of the things that this question goes through my head all the time. The finger scan systems getting into the parks. Okay. And I'm an AP holder. So there's a little more at stake, I guess, with people that have APs. But think about this. When you're going through the finger scanner things into the park at rope drop, we've all had it happen where your finger is not warmed up that day or it's not working. Like maybe you woke up and your finger's not quite awake yet and it's not reading right or something, you know, whatever. I always tell Paige she has to warm up her finger before we put it down there, you know. Blow on your finger. Okay, now it's ready to go. So, you know, and the cast members look at me like I have three heads. But, you know, that's what everybody does. So anyway, the thing is, though, we've all been there. We're like, you put your finger on it, it doesn't work. You put your finger on it, it doesn't work. You know, like the fourth time, they're like, oh, just go through. You know, they don't care. You know, I've never seen him turn somebody away because, like, their finger doesn't match. And so my big thing is, like, if you're just going to, after four tries, let me through anyway, you know, what's the point? You know, is it to keep people out? Is it to scare people into, you know, maybe not sharing tickets, which, you know, I wouldn't share tickets because that's just wrong. It's going to drive the prices up for everybody. And Lord knows, we don't want the prices to go up any more than they are. So that's my thing. I mean, I just think it's funny that, you know, they have the finger scanners and you got to do that. But then every time that my finger doesn't work very well. I can tell you, I have a terrible finger, I guess, because it always gets kicked out, you know, and we do it three or four times and they finally just say, oh, just go through. They feel sorry for me, I guess, you know, maybe I give them like the sad eyes, like, oh, I need to get in. I'm so close. But, you know, it's like, what's the point? You know, if you're going to let me through after four tries, why are we playing this game? So,
and in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, you know, what's that telling you? Okay. If you want to come through, just, you know, go through with the masses. I don't know. You know, it's like, why are you doing? I mean, Pam, I'm sure you've experienced this many times.
Yeah.
I mean, did you ever think that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the morning, I think of it every time because, you know, especially at Hollywood Studios, we love Toy Story Mania. So we have to be there in the morning because I'm not waiting forever for it. And so we're there and they're just like waving you through. And if you even point your finger on thing, they're like, no, you don't need to go right there. You know what I mean? Like they're scolding you for doing it. It's like, okay, you know, it's not even up and running. So, you know, I understand the theory that they're trying to move more people through, but find a system that effectively allows you to do that and, you know, check the identity of people, not that they're taking fingerprints or anything that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Why does it have to be either or? Why can't it be both?
I still can't believe, though, that AP holders don't have plastic APs with your picture on them. I mean, Six Flags has that. And their season pass is like $50. You know, it's, and I know Disneyland has that as well. So, you know, I just think, hey, match up the picture, boom, you're in. You know, that makes it a little bit easier for the cast member. So, Ricky, I'm sure you've run into this as well, where your finger's not working.
What are you talking about? I get there in the afternoon. They're always working. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's true. Yeah. You and seven people are coming in. Yeah, everybody's leaving.
Exactly. No. I've noticed this. Every once in a while, I notice it, you know, when I'm up early. Mike makes me get up early. Yeah. You know, I think you're right. You know, it's kind of one of those things of like, well, either use it or don't use it. I understand why they're wanting it, but you know, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, come on, use it or don't. Pick one. Let's go with it. You know, if you don't want to use it, then let's find another system that actually works, that isn't going to cause the line to back up a million people long. You know what I'm saying? So I see its merits. I also see the downsides, and I just wish they'd pick a lane and stick with it.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's like roulette. You don't know if it's going to, you know, do I have to show my finger today? Is it too crowded? You know, what's the deal? Right. So, you know, you just got to kind of walk up in there and see
which finger did I use? Yeah, exactly.
You're always supposed to use your right pointer. You don't know that? The right pointer.
Well, no, I always use the right pointer too. But, you know, a lot of people just use different random fingers and they're like, wait, which one did I use the last time? I can't remember. So
seriously, if you use the wrong finger at that, come on, you shouldn't get in the park. I mean, I'm sorry.
I know there
you only have 10.
I know there are people who use the wrong finger. I've been behind them in line. They're like, which finger did you use when you...
You have 10 fingers.
I don't remember which one I used.
It's a 10%
chance.
I do
not remember.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's going to about do it for us today, but we hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I know that the last few weeks we've gone rather long on our Friday shows, and I'll be honest, I just love talking Disney. We're having a good time. We hope that you don't mind the little bit longer shows. We do try to shoot for 30 minutes. We know we've gone into the 50s, but we love these topics, and especially a big thanks today to Mark Johns 1 on Twitter giving us this topic. A lot of fun, and thanks to everybody who follows us on Twitter, because we love getting feedback from you on Twitter, on Facebook. The social media is great because I love talking to all of our Disney friends every day in some way. So you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at twitter.com/BRGuestMike. And I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/BRGuestMike. Ricky, real quick, what's your information?
I'm at twitter.com/RickyNibs, RickiNibs. And I don't know what my Facebook went. Just look for me and in something Disney World and you'll find me. So
very nice. So Pam, what's your contact information?
It is TMFLT Pam is my Twitter name, and on Facebook, I think I'm Pam Forrester 1, but if you just search for Pam Forrester, Forrester, you'll find me.
Awesome. So we'd appreciate the follows this week. We love getting new friends, and I know that we've gotten a lot of new listeners, even more new listeners lately, because you've been kind enough to send us emails about listening to the show during your commute, during your workouts, after school, in your offices. We love to hear that because we love talking Disney, but when you take the time to sit down and write us a letter and tell us, you know, what you think of the show, that means the world to us. So thanks again to all of our new listeners. And again, let us know on Twitter. If you haven't contacted us, just let us know where you listen from. We get a huge kick out of that. And we do every time appreciate you downloading our podcast. Don't forget, you can join our message forums. They are awesome. They're a lot of fun. You're going to meet some great, great Disney fans over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. When you go to our homepage there, you need to check that out. We have a lot of stuff going on right on the main homepage. You can visit our store if you want to get a shirt for the Be Our Guest podcast. Yay. We love that. Those are fun. We have hoodies. We have hoodies for the radio station.
It's perfect for the holidays.
Yes, I just actually bought a hood. I bought a Magical Mouse Radio hoodie the other day, and it is awesome. It's so soft, and it looks great. So check out the podcast store. We appreciate that. We get a little bit that helps support the show. Not much, because we have a very, very, very small markup on our things, because I want you to be able to, you know, get as much as you can, but we get like $2 or $3 per thing, so we appreciate that. We also have our friend feed over on our main page. That's kind of like a chat room where you can include pictures. We basically use that during our live shows, which are the third Sunday of every month, but it's open all the time, so if you want to meet some friends over there and have an informal chat, that would be awesome. Also, a new thing that I installed on the homepage is a countdown timer to the Be Our Guest podcast cruise. So if you're ever wondering, oh, how long do I have to wait to get on that ship? It's there. I believe we're at about 208 days. Actually, less than that. We're about 205 days, I think, today. So we're getting there. I can't wait to drop under 200. That'll be amazing.
That'll be amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yes.
So, you know, check out the main page, because there's a lot there. We have our, you know, you can contact us on Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. If you miss that, just click there. It'll take you right there. But, I'm trying my best to keep that up to date. We have links to the Magic for Less. If you want to put in a quote, if you're just thinking about, you know, hey, I wonder what it would cost to go down to Disney, you know, this summer for a week. No obligation quote. Click on the Magic for Less logo right there, Be Our Guest podcast. You'll get a free quote within 24 hours. It costs you nothing. You know, hey, we're going to do everything we can to help you plan the perfect vacation. But, you know, if it doesn't work out, if the dates don't work out, if the cost doesn't work out, no sweat. You know, that's why we're here. But check it out. We have the logos there. Touring Plans has a logo there. Click on that. It'll take you right to them. And you can check out all the great services they offer for your trip planning. And speaking of Touring Plans, they sponsored today's podcast. We really appreciate touringplans.com and the Magic for Less. They make this show happen. They support us. So please, when you're planning that next vacation, the best thing you can do for our podcast and for the radio station is to support those folks who give us support to keep bringing this to you every time. And that's today. It's the Magic, or it's touringplans.com today. It'll be the Magic for Less on Monday. Holy cow, I'm losing this. So today, we want you guys all know it's one or the other every time. So, you know, if you want great unbiased information to plan the perfect day in a Disney park, to see the attractions in the optimal order, to, you know, see which day, this is the best day to visit this park. And also, this is the worst day. You shouldn't really go to this park this day. Check out our friends over at touringplans.com. It's a nominal fee. You get so much for your money. It's incredible. So please do check them out this week. So am I missing anything? Oh, I'm missing Magical Mouse Radio. And, you know, it's Black Friday. So that means I can officially crank out the Walt Disney World Christmas music now. So, yes, I'm excited about that. So the way we're going to do this to kind of keep everybody happy is that we'll have blocks where we play. Certain blocks will have all just Walt Disney World Christmas music. So stuff you would hear at Magic Kingdom, Epcot, the studios, Animal Kingdom. Actually, we do throw some stuff in there, maybe from Disneyland Paris, from some of the other parks around the world, just because it's Disney Parks Christmas stuff, which is really unique. We'll have Candlelight Processional, Holiday Wishes, I'm trying to think, the Osborne Lights music, all that. I mean, it's great stuff. So there'll be blocks that are just that. We'll also have blocks where we kind of expand it a little. We'll play all the Disney great stuff, but we'll mix in, you know, those classics like Bing Crosby and Rocking Around the Christmas Tree and some Elvis and some more contemporary stuff, Kelly Clarkson, and it's a good mix. So we'll have those, and of course we'll have the times where we're playing just great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music, so you don't miss your stuff like your Soarin' Q and your Space Mountain music and all that good stuff. So check out the schedule. Just go to magicalmouseradio.com, hit the schedule at the top of the screen, and you'll see that we're mixing in stuff here and there. And when it's on the normal playlist of everything, we're going to sprinkle in some Christmas music all over the place. So we hope that we don't want to abandon all the great Disney park stuff that we play all year long, but we do want to celebrate, you know, this time of the year where we can play some great special holiday stuff for you as well. We want to be that soundtrack for your holiday season 2010. So please do check us out over at magicalmouseradio.com. Anything else, ladies? I can't think of anything else. I think I gave everything out.
Oh, I found out what I found out what my Facebook is.
Oh, very good. 10 minutes. It's a good thing I went 10 minutes to that on the closing. Very good.
I really suck, don't I? No, it's facebook.com/Ricky, RIKKI, be our guest. It was me.
Perfect. So check out Ricky, friend her, and you know, we just love being in communication with you. That's the best thing about the show. We want it to be two-way, where we're talking to you and you're talking to us. Because that's what makes it fun. And, you know, in the season of Thanksgiving, again, thank you for always giving us the time, lending us an ear, and just, you know, putting up with us 2 days a week. You know, that's what my wife would say. You know, you guys put up with us, you know, on our antics, because my wife would very much rather have me talking to you than, you know, talking an hour today about Disney. You know, she'd be like, you know, she appreciates it too. She's thankful I have a podcast as well. So I can tell you that. And also one other thing I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for our other podcasts that are in the Disney community. Really. Mm-hmm. We have so many great friends, so many inspiring people, and there's more podcasts every year. We've had some new ones kind of join the crew the last year. It's amazing. You know, we're not the new guy on the street anymore.
I know.
We're 284. What happened? I know there's podcasts younger than us, but everybody that started this year, awesome job. We love your podcast. The guys who have always been out there, you know, inspired us to get going. Keep doing what you're doing. We love your shows, and the Disney community just couldn't be better. I feel like saying I love you guys. I love the Disney community. It's so fun. So yeah, I'm very thankful today. So that's how it is.
We all are. We feel the same. Absolutely.
Yep. It's a great thing. I mean, I think nobody gets it like Disney people. I mean, and I'm not just talking about Disney things. I'm talking about things in life. You know, I think we all have kind of a slant on how we see things. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. I hope it's a good one.
I think so.
Me too. I was going to say the same thing.
I guess it depends on your perspective. All right. So we're going to get out of here wishing you a very happy weekend. Have a lot of fun. Enjoy friends and family and football. and we'll be back together on Monday. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike. Stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.
Okay, so we're doing, Ricky, you don't know what we're doing?
No, I haven't been up on Twitter.
Check your email.
I sent Disney email. Is often criticized for recent changes they've made at Walt Disney World. What changes should we give thanks for? And what changes are we not thankful for?
What's this email? I don't have it at all. Hang on.
I sent it to everybody. I thought.
When?
Yeah, you did, Mike.
About 4 o'clock, probably.
5:19 p.m. Yeah. My time.
Seriously, don't have it. Hang on. Let me see if it's in my inbox, and I just didn't get it.
She's
on my
blocking phone. You, Mike.
I know.
I am.
I don't, you know, that's fine. I block her, so it's fair.
Yeah, I know. I don't like Mike. He sucks.
We got some good ones on Facebook, too, because I always forget that my Twitter updates my Facebook, and I never check it. And then when I do check it, I'm like, I have 100 people talking to me. I'm like, and I feel guilty.
The last one I have from you was sent at 1:30. Wait, no, hang on. That was the other one that you sent me.
Are you using Gmail? Because it threads. You got to click on it. Sometimes it's not at the top.
I'm using AOL.
Is AOL still around? Like, you're using
yes,
Atari?
Yes,
really? I mean, like, people use that?
Seriously.
Hang on.
Does your modem go when it connects?
No, not anymore. Yeah. I did not get a single message from your mic. I swear to God.
You're using AOL.
You said, okay, 7 Central it is, and I sent out a tweet for people to suggest topics. Nothing yet. That was the last email I got from you. So, and then maybe. I got one from Pam that said, I'll see you all then.
I think
that
AOL went out of business since 1:30 this afternoon.
Seriously. Hang on. Maybe it's in my spam. Hang on. Let me look.
She's on a 300 baud modem.
It went to my spam.
Yeah, seriously. Like, I haven't heard that one before.
Seriously.
Good try.
Oh, no, I'm not prepared. Don't go to me first.
I can't.
It does not do that.
Your modem does. You're on like a Commodore 64, aren't you?
I am not. Yes,
she still uses cassette tape.
Yes, she does.
No, I use beta tapes. And 8-tracks.
She got this new game today called Pitfall.
That's right. It's on this really cool gaming system called Atari.
Yes, I did. I love it.
No, she got the new one. It's called Coleco.
Do you remember Pitfall? Do you remember how hard it was on Atari?
Yeah, I took my picture of the screen when I got, I think you had to get like 40,000 points. And then if you took a picture of your screen and mailed it in, you got a patch. Yes, I did.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes, I did. I got to where the time ran out. So that gives you like 20 minutes, and then if the time runs out, you gotta get, you know, the game descends. Oh. Anyway, that was funny.
You had to grab that vine.
You're on AOL.
Yeah, it so does not make that noise anymore.
Are you on Quantum Link? That was like with the Commodore 64. No. CompuServe.
She got a disc free in the mail.
Yes, she did.
Yes, a long time ago we did. I swear to God, I got the. Then we had to go get the disc every time they updated it.
Oh gosh!
You better run up to Target real quick and get it. You know, version 117.6. Go get
it.
No,
I don't have to pay for it anymore either, which is pretty awesome.
I hope not.
I know. It doesn't exist.
Browsers are kind of free, so I mean.
Oh man. You're cracking me up.
Anyway. Yeah, I still have to pay for my internet.
That's old school.